And now it's time to chain fire freedom, Cloverback Talk. Here's your host, Chris Dover.
Welcome back, friends, to another episode of Cloverback Talk. And today we're going to be talking about Nomad's Tactical Range there in Chandler, Texas. And if that name sounds familiar, it's probably because you have watched a couple of our YouTube videos that we shot there. We ran through their shoot house over there at Nomad's Tactical. One of those videos was myself running through the shoot house with my suppressed 300 blackout SBR. And then one of the other videos is myself and some of our 4-H kids running through the shoot house with my Buckmark pistols. We had a good time. It was very interesting. So that's what we're going to be discussing today. We're going to get Dennis from Nomad's Tactical on the line here shortly. But first, let's take care of a little business and tell you about CloverTac.com. And at CloverTac.com, or rather on CloverTac.com, you are able to contact us, and we look forward to hearing from you. We'd like your feedback and your input, maybe suggestions for upcoming shows, or if you just want to participate in some general discussion. We also have a blog section there where I occasionally rant and give my thoughts on the subjects of the day, as it were. And, of course, we have a wide variety of affiliates and sponsors there. And by shopping those affiliates and sponsors that you probably already shop, if you do that through CloverTac.com, then you are supporting our efforts here and sort of keeping us going. And we surely do appreciate that. We've got Dennis on the line with Nomad's Tactical. How are you today, Dennis?
I'm good, Chris. How are you doing today?
Doing great, brother, doing great. Why don't you tell us a little bit about some of the things you have to offer there at Nomad's Tactical?
Well, we started out as a licensed carry instructor with a very small range, so I could do the proficiency part of the LTC class, and realized that a lot of people needed a place to go shoot.
Right.
So I created a shooting range that you don't have to be a member of. Just have a daily rate, because so many people just shoot 4 or 5 times a year and don't want to be a member. So I open the range up to everybody as a place to come shoot. And in the process of doing that, found the need for more training of people in the area in our community to make people safer. So taking more and more classes so I can teach people properly how to handle their weapons and use them also in a defensive manner if needed.
Right, so you offer obviously the LTC, and then what other types of training do you normally have? Do you have any special courses for say women or church groups or anything along those lines?
Yes, I do an introduction to handguns, handgun 101, if you will, for people who have never touched a gun before but want to learn how to safely handle it. I also do youth classes. I'm a big proponent of teaching kids young how to safely handle guns so accidents don't happen. And then we do defensive handgun classes. We call our 201 class that we teach church security teams, hospital security teams, police officers, sheriff's department. They train out here. And now the newest is teaching teachers, because Texas is arming teachers in their schools. So now I'm teaching teachers how to protect their classes.
Interesting. Very interesting. If someone was to be interested in a class and not maybe one of the beginners like you're talking about and not have access to their own firearms, is that something that you guys can handle out there as well?
Yes, I have several different rental guns. That's one of the biggest things for people is trying to find which gun fits them. There's so many choices out there nowadays, and really a gun that is too big for you can hinder more than help. So I offer several different rental guns for people to try and see what fits them good. We are an FFL, so we can buy and sell guns here. I don't have a big selection, but I can get anything that the big guys can get too. So I encourage people to don't let that stop you just because you don't have a gun yet.
Right. And what do you find in your experience when people are coming out and they've never dealt with firearms before? What do you find the firearm, the pistol that they seem to gravitate to the most, or the one that across the board seems to be the most popular? Is there anyone that stands out in your mind?
Well, it boils down really to price. You know, everybody's got in their mind a price range they want to go for. You're in the $300 to $400 range. The M&P Shield is a great gun. Most people will gravitate towards a 9mm. I try to shy people away from 380s. I don't think in a defensive situation they're powerful enough to do what you want them to do. Again, it falls into price. You know, if you've got a little bit more money to spend, then I would go into like a SIG 320 is a very good gun. But again, we've got several different ones here for people to try and see what fits them best.
All right. Now, on the training, we've talked a little bit about that pistols and things like that. Do you guys offer, I know you were talking about law enforcement, do you offer anything for civilians in the line of any type of a rifle training or a carbine training or anything like that, or do you have plans to do that if not?
Yes, I do. Majority of the people that I train are civilians. Law enforcement, I'm trying to get certification so that I can legally certify and teach police officers. I already do teach them, but I'm not certified to certify them at this point. So I mainly focus on civilians, and we focus on defensive training, more of real-life training, not just shooting at paper targets, but right to our live fire shoot house and teach people real life to protect yourself.
Sure, more of a situational training.
Right.
I'm assuming probably extreme conditions, stress, pressure, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it gets more into our advanced classes, the 301 class. But my 201 class is where I try to push people towards. It's everything starts from the draw. And so the 201 class works on drawing properly from concealed or open and hitting your target, because you can't miss fast enough in a gunfight to catch up. You've got to be able to hit what you're aiming at. So that's what we focus on.
Right. Now, you mentioned the shoot house, so let's shift gears here for a minute and talk a little bit about the range facility there that you have. We'll start with that shoot house. I've been in that a couple of times now. It's definitely a lot of fun. Tell folks a little bit about that shoot house, how it's set up, what the purpose was for you putting that in, that sort of thing.
Well, here in Northeast Texas, everybody's got land or knows somebody that's got land. So people can either shoot in their backyard or they got a friend's farm they can go shoot on. And I realized if I want to have a range that's going to have any business, I need to be different than just shooting in your backyard at your friend's field or farm or something. So by building a shoot house, again, it's more real world situation of learning how to clear rooms and clear doorways, try to set myself apart, because you won't find a shoot house other than in a law enforcement setting that they get to practice it. The everyday average citizen doesn't get a chance to go into a live fire shoot house.
Correct.
And I've done some training out in Nevada where they had these shoot houses, and so I modeled mine after one that I shot in that I thought was really cool. And it doesn't take a whole lot of work, just a little bit of imagination to set it up. And I had some friends help me out, and it has turned out to be really good. A lot of people like it.
Right. And on top of that shoot house, you also have a, I've been telling folks, talking about it, calling it the steel pit. What's that all about? I know you've made some recent additions to that I've seen.
Yeah, everybody is used to shooting on paper targets. Paper targets are fun and satisfying, and by all means do it. But the steel plate pit is where you stand at one location and you can work on your draw and shoot at different angles, different distances, and you get instant feedback. Because when you hit steel, you get an instant feedback of sound so that you know that you've hit the target, and it's a lot more gratifying than having to walk back up to your paper target and say, yep, there's a hole. And the steel plates are AR-500 bulletproof steel, so there's nothing comes back at you. There's no worry of ricochet. The bullet splatters and goes straight down to the ground. And I'm making challenge targets, so as you get better, you can work on these challenge targets to, with your follow-up shots. And it's really catching on. Everybody, once they shoot steel, they don't want to go back to paper. It's so much more fun and satisfying.
Right, and I find one of the advantages of steel over paper, with paper, it seems that people tend to get a little more too focused on accuracy. And when you're talking about defensive shooting, your concern in that situation is rounds on target, not rounds on top of each other.
With that steel,
you're gonna get that feedback no matter where you hit on that target. And it also is a, like you say, it's a lot quicker. You get that ring and you know you've hit. You don't have to go up and check your target and count your holes and that sort of thing.
Right, because defensive shooting is not target shooting. It's not one hole shooting. You're just trying to do, within a 4 or 5 inch span in the center cavity or the center mass of your target. It is drop for shooting quickly and accurately.
Right. Now on the paper side of things, on your normal range, what type of distances, what type of setup do you have there for folks?
Well, we've got the paper pistol range, which is from 0 to 25 yards, which you can back to shooting at paper targets. You can either bring your own paper targets, or I have some in stock that I sell. I always have target backers up or stands to tape your targets to. And then I have a 25-yard rifle range to sight in your rifles. And I also have a 100-yard rifle range to prove it after you've sighted it in. In the afternoons, we can shoot back as far as 300 yards.
Wow.
So we offer pretty much everything for people. We don't do trap and skeet just because of the location we're in. And there's too many other people that do it. It's not economically feasible for us. Those guys stick with that.
That requires an awful lot of land and an awful lot of maintenance. And I know with the spread that you have out there now, you've probably got enough maintenance on your hands, I'm sure.
I do, and one of the biggest things is the EPA. Because when you're shooting all that lead out over a wide area, and I'm in a watershed area for Lake Palestine, the EPA then would come in here and say, what am I doing to clean up all this lead before it runs into the lake? So, from the liability standpoint, I don't need to get into that.
Right. Now, I've caught wind. I haven't been able to make any of the little competitions that you guys have held out there, but I've definitely heard about those. I know that the guys going to those seem to have a lot of fun. What all does that entail?
Well, we do a shoot house competition where it's $20 a head to get into the competition. And winner takes half the pot of everybody that has entered for the day. And one of the scenarios is you go through the shoot house, and there's 15 targets. Now, mind you, you can't see more than a couple targets at any given position throughout the shoot house. You have to round a corner or come through a doorway or something like that. But one of the scenarios is with the 15 targets, you'll go in with 15 bullets total, separated in two different magazines that somebody else loads for you. So you're going to be forced to do emergency reload at some point that you don't know when. And then the event is timed. So the fastest person through hitting all the targets wins. If you miss a target, then there's like a 4 or 5 second penalty. So you take the long shot or you run and get close and guarantee it. And then we also want to start a three-gun competition. Nothing sanctioned yet because I don't think we have the space for. But I think we've got the setup that we can do a three-gun competition. So that's what I'm actively working on now to get people to come out and help me design something so we can all work together and, you help me design something and earn you some free range time.
Right. And I'm assuming with the shoot house and the way that you're set up in there, you have a lot of modular capability. So, is every competition, the course of fire, we'll call it, is the course of fire is obviously different every competition, right?
Well, that's the beauty of using steel targets is to erase all the shots you hit with spray paint. So all your shots are erased. And then you can put a color on the target. Like I have an orange dot or a green dot or a red dot. And so as you go through, you say that the green dots are good guys. I'll shoot the good guys. And so I can change up the whole course, good guys versus bad guys, in a matter of minutes. And I'm building it with modular walls, so I can change a doorway to a hallway or something like that. So yeah, each time it can be different.
Right. Okay. Well, tell everybody. I know that you're over there. You're on the opposite side, the west end of Lake Palestine over there. For those not aware with that area, and even for those that are, you're a little bit difficult to get to in a way because of the lake. Give everybody directions if you would, maybe from the Tyler area.
Well, if you're coming into Chandler on 31, you turn left or south on 315, the only light in Chandler. Once you get out of Chandler, past the park, across the first big bridge across Lake Palestine, as soon as you get off that bridge, you make your immediate first right, which is 3079. There's the fishing boat ramp is right there for the lake, and Exxon gas station. Up the road about a mile and a half, and our road is on the left, 3408. There's Martin Springs Baptist Church on the corner. You can only turn left on our road. Come down about a half mile, and you're right in the middle of a 90-degree bend. There's a sign out front that says Nomad's Tactical, and the address is on the mailbox, 8480 County Road 3408.
And what are the days and hours that you guys are available out there?
We're generally open about 10 to 6 during the week. We're closed on Sundays and Wednesdays. Sundays is members only, typically after church. I do training classes in the mornings or on Sunday afternoons. Wednesday is my grass cutting day. So really any other time during the week, and I live on property. So if you can't come out later in the afternoon, you can only make it in the morning, give me a call. I live right here. I'll be happy to run down and let you in so you can shoot. Have fun.
Right. And what you said there was day fees and that sort of thing. What's the fee scheduling like for range use?
Day use for shooting on paper targets is $20 a person per day. If you want to shoot on steel and paper, then it's $25 for the day per person.
Wow.
And I tried to make it so that it was the cost of a box of ammo for your day to come out and shoot.
Right. And I guess contact. How do they get a hold of you? You guys have a website or a phone number, that sort of thing?
Yep, our website is nomadstactical.com. Our email is the same, nomadstactical@gmail.com. And then my office number is my cell phone number, so I always have it on me, so you can call or text. That's 903-617-9777. Through our website or email, I monitor it multiple times a day, so I'm always available.
Very good, very good. Well, Dennis, I appreciate you joining us today. Hopefully we can get a few guys in the area out there and check out the range. I can speak from personal experience that it certainly is a mighty fine time. I've been out a couple of times and actually brought some friends and some of our 4-H kids out there as well who had a ball. So if you're in the area and you are able to make it over there and visit Dennis at Nomads Tactical, by all means, try to get over there and do that. Dennis, thank you for joining us. We appreciate you.
Thanks, Chris. Have a great day.
Well, friends, that is all the time we have for CloverTac Talk today. We'd like to remind you once again to hop over and check out CloverTac.com. A lot of good information, and you can, of course, contact us or support us through CloverTac.com. Want to thank you for listening. And until next time, take care, guys.